In the name of Jesus,
Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Beloved in the Lord, it was more than a rustling leaf which captivated the men and women in our text this morning. Fear, that ancient work of unbelief in the heart, had seized them all. It was Sunday evening, and all were hiding for fear of the Jews. But like faith, fear is never alone. With fear comes confusion, despair, hopelessness, and anxiety. Fear is never alone, and fear and all its emotional baggage had shackled itself to the hearts and minds of the men who vowed their allegiance to Jesus even unto death, and to the women who've been reporting their idle tales since the wee hours of the morning. If there ever was a group of emotionally unstable men and women, it was most certainly gathered in that upper room on Sunday night. It was perhaps the first ever apostolic small group. Only no one was holding hands. None were singing heartfelt praise songs. Can you imagine the disciples on the first Easter Eve gathered together for fear of the Jews, completely confused about what had just happened, and someone encouraging them to gather together and sit in a circle and hold hands and share with the group? It's no wonder, beloved, that the unbelieving, unchurched, underchurched, never churched, overchurched, whatever you want to label them, it's no wonder that they're more like Thomas. Simply not with the rest of the disciples in the upper room. There's more than just fig leaves blowing about in the world. Sin and death and devil lurk about in every dark corner, in every alleyway, in every marketplace seeking someone to devour. Fluffy music with self-centered lyrics and warm fuzzies can't fix that. And the one whom they thought could, the one whom they were hoping was going to redeem Israel, he's gone. Having suffered under Pontius Pilate, he's crucified, dead, buried. Sure, they have some idle tales about angels and resurrections, but that's not necessarily a good thing. The one whom they betrayed, denied, and abandoned at his most pressing need, now he's alive, you say? Risen from the dead? Well, he might be just a bit angry with his disciples. Yes, beloved, there's more than just a few leaves rustling in the wind that first Easter evening, just as there is today. Often we're no different than these disciples or even Thomas. Sin and death and devil are still lurking about, seeking someone to devour, and we are still afraid. We're still afraid to walk by faith alone. Fearful of walking by faith alone, we tend to latch on to things that make us feel better, things that we wrongly believe will fix the darkness. So we try to cling to the glory of God. Oh, beloved, how we love the glory and the power and the might and the bright brilliance of a shining Jesus, a Jesus who's ready to tear open his robe and reveal a block S for Savior and singing, "Here I am to save the day." These are the things that we count as real, things we can see, things we can experience and feel and we think be sure of. Fearful hearts want the glory of God in all its brilliant, flashy, warm, fuzzy, feel-good power, but they can't handle the glory of God. Adam hid in the bushes. Isaiah cried, "Woe is me!" And John's apocalypse dropped him as though dead before the throne of the resurrected Christ. From Genesis through Revelation, Holy Writ teaches us the fear of God in His glory, as well as teaching us the heart of God in His Son. For despite all the fears, despite all the rustling leaves outside, Jesus enters in. Coming through locked doors, He appears, not in His majesty, this isn't Mount Tabor, but in humility. He knows their hearts. He knows yours. He knows all their fears and anxieties and doubts. He knows the intentions of the Jews. He knows the strength of the Romans. He knows the depravity of man. He knows. He suffered it. Not against his will, but in accord with his Father's good pleasure. He suffered man's sin, bore man's death, crushed man's demons, all on the cross. Coming through locked doors, coming to hearts fettered with fear, coming to them, he offers them peace. Peace be with you, he says. It's the peace that passes all human understanding. It's the peace that eases fears and draws them out of the dark corners and into his marvelous light. His peace, beloved, is nothing short of absolution. And so he shows him his hands and his side. These are the marks of his peace for you and for the whole world. The word is connected to a sign, and fallen hearts are urged to believe. His resurrection from the dead is good news after all. Jesus isn't angry with humanity. He's not angry with Jews or Gentiles or Romans or men or women or even little children. If you ever doubt such favor, beloved, hear his absolution. Look at his hands and his side. He shows the pains of his love for you and for the world. The brilliance of the glory of God is that the glory of God humiliated himself and became a servant, a suffering servant, and he took upon himself the sins of all men. He took them and he bore them even into death on a cross. Behold the marks, beloved. Hear the voice. Believe the words for yourself. Know that your peace has been purchased, not with gold or silver, not with your success stories, not with your works or your strength or your merits or your creative emotional melodies or your contemporary applications of Moses, not even your reworking of the gospel narrative to fit your philosophical ideologies. No! Your peace, beloved, has been purchased with the holy, precious blood and the innocent, suffering death of Jesus on the cross. Christ-centered, cross-focused absolution is what takes away fear and empowers us to go into all the ends of the earth with the love of Christ. Absolution, beloved, the forgiveness of sins, is what takes away the sting of death. And as Luther says, absolution is nothing short of preaching the gospel, and preaching the gospel is nothing short of giving absolution. Everything stands or falls on the forgiveness of sins. Everything. Fearful hearts need the gospel. Those afraid to walk by faith alone need absolution. I need it. You need it. Your children need it. The world needs it. And so Jesus breathes his Holy Spirit on his church. The keys of the kingdom are given to all who believe, to all who have the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, I also send you, Jesus says. And those who are sent with the keys of the kingdom, sent to unlock the fetters of sin, to unchain the gates of heaven, to set the captives free. Christians are sent to their vocations, sent with the gospel, with holy absolution in their ears and on their lips. Each, according to their own calling, bears the marks of Christ before the world. Certain men called to be pastors. Others are called to be godly husbands and fathers, teachers, professors, lawyers, auto workers, postal workers, etc., etc. Certain women are called to be deaconesses. Others are called to be godly wives and mothers, teachers, professors, lawyers, auto workers, postal workers, and the list could go on and on. Even the little ones bear the keys of the kingdom. They speak the gospel when they bring forgiveness to their friends, or their siblings, or their parents. What pastors do publicly and by divine right, all Christians do privately and by the Spirit of our God. For our God and Lord would have his heart poured upon all the earth to save sinners from hell and damnation. He wills that all come to the knowledge of the truth, that all receive his absolution, that all behold his Son and the marks of his cross in his flesh. Beloved in the Lord, the world is trapped by rustling leaves and prowling lions and anxious hearts. The world needs what you and I need, the words of peace, the marks of the cross. The world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world needs absolution. Thus our preaching and our teaching and our singing and our serving and our catechizing and our evangelizing will center on Jesus and focus on the cross and proclaim the wonders that he has done for them and for the world. Let us then, beloved, preach Christ and Him crucified. Let us proclaim the passionate mercy of our God. Let us be vigilant and give out His forgiveness. Let us run to the Thomases of this world. Let us confess the apostolic word. Let us bear the marks of the cross and go as the Lord's redeemed. Let us not, beloved, look after the glories of this world, but rather seek the humility of our Lord as He hides Himself in, with, and under common means. Let us not trivialize the gospel by singing bumper sticker theology 11 times over, but let us offer our praises unto God as we sing of the Lamb's victorious deeds. Let us walk and walk by faith alone, and by the Spirit's grace and blessing, beloved, let us cling to the wounds of Jesus, hearken to the words of Jesus, and be found where the cross of Jesus is proclaimed, given, and received. Let us not fear the foe. Let us not dread His rage and power. Let us not faint. Let us not grow weary. Let us not cower in the darkness, but rather, beloved, let us be of good cheer. For in the world we will have trial and tribulation, but our God has overcome the world. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.